we started a group of messages on victims of the new morality. You and I are living in an age that is unbelievable. Last, I want you to think about this, in less than a decade, in our country, we have moved to the legalization of marriages of homosexuals. And now the cause for which the liberal left is pushing so hard is concerning transgenders, to the point that the Navy is even considering allowing transgendered sailors to dress whichever way they want. Our society is standing on its head because men and women have abandoned God's standard for life. And so we introduce that by talking about how that the first victim of the new morality were the innocents, the babies, the children. The second victim of the new morality, I would say, would be sexual purity. In essence, the new morality throws off old objective moral restraints like the Bible, where God sets forth His commands, standards, rules, and guidelines. And in place of God deciding what is right and wrong, under the new morality, each person decides what's right and wrong for them. Now, you may say at first blush that that's good. No, it's not. If you notice all the way back in the Old Testament, when God called His people out, the Bible says He led them out to bring them in. He led them out of the heathenism that was all around them, the worship of many gods, to lead them into a relationship with the one true God. Then He led them out to lead them into the promised land. That's a picture of what God wants to do for every man, woman, and child on the planet. He wants to lead us out of our sin and lead us into His kingdom. The new morality doesn't give you that option. As a matter of fact, there's freedom of speech as long as it's what they want to hear. We are looking around us, and fortunately, it hasn't reached our little cove yet, but it may someday, where the anarchists are shouting down, slapping down, killing and burning in the name of anything that is not what they believe. Now, I'm going to tell you that not everybody that hears this message will receive it or receive it well, but that's not on me. My job is to not make it palatable, to not make it delicious, and not make it inviting, but just make it the truth and say it in love. And I do in love. Though it's obvious to a concerned Bible believer that this new morality is simply a repackaging of Satan's old lies, it's shocking to see how many people who call themselves Christian are allowing this new morality to govern their lives. And this morning we're going to look at the next victim of this new morality, sexual purity. Our generation is being bombarded by sexual messages on every level, never imagined just 30 years ago. Music, art, magazines, TV, Hollywood, and the web have mainstreamed some of the most vile and perverted sexual filth in the name of free speech. And as I said, for them it's a one-way street. Some would say, well, didn't God make us to be sexual beings? Yes. His first command to Adam and Eve was be fruitful and multiply. Woo-hoo! You can laugh, but it's true. Sex was designed by God for the pleasure of a man and woman in a monogamous relationship with one another, and that's what God intended. Though it's been probably worn out, I will say it was for Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, that God did this. God never designed it for anything else but a monogamous relationship. And though at one time it was listed as a psychological disorder, homosexuality has become mainstream, even though the population is something in the neighborhood of 0.1% of the population, yet they're getting all kinds of attention. Now we've got the transgenders coming out, and believe it or not, with them are the pedophiles. The Man-Boy Love Association in California is a real organization that believes it's okay for grown adults to have relations with children, and it's okay. I'm gonna stop you right there. It is not okay. Amen. God never said it was okay. As a matter of fact, if we were to carry out the Old Testament command, considering God's punishment for sexual impurity, there'd be so many rocks bouncing around you couldn't drive a car. Because the truth of the matter is, we have abandoned God's standard. And let me tell you something. They did not in Israel have somebody getting stoned every single day for being homosexual. Because what it did, it helped people curb those appetites. I'm not saying they don't have genuine appetites in the wrong direction, but it's because we're sinful and broken, not because they were born and destined to be that way, but because we were all born in sin and we were broken. This morning in introduction, I won't share my pulpit very often on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to share it via audio with probably one of the most profound motivational speakers and somebody who can give speeches on just about any topic better than any preacher I know, and that's John MacArthur. You got that ready, David?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we're going to try this. This is new, but I want you to listen. It takes about 5 minutes, but I want you to listen. What happened is a young lady stood up in a crowd and asked him a question about transgender people. She has a loved one that's transgender and wants to know what the Bible says.
In regards to transgender, I have an older sibling, actually, who's transgender. And my question is just how to approach that biblically, specifically in regards to what pronouns to use, and just in general.
Yeah, Claire, bless your heart for asking that. Simply stated, there is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY. That's it. God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality. This notion that you are something other than your biology is a cultural construct intended as an assault on God. Now, your sibling may not see it that way, but that's what it's all about. And as more than anything, in fact, I was reading an article by R.C. Sproul just yesterday in which he said that the greatest revolution in American history was neither the American Revolution or the Industrial Revolution. It is the sexual revolution. This has become the most far-reaching, damaging of all revolutions that's ever occurred in this country or any other. The problem with buying into this is it is a kind of personal suicide. It is literally the end of your existence in the way that God designed you. I've said this a few weeks ago. A person who is in the transgender world is 19 times more likely to kill himself or herself because you have completely cut yourself off from reality. And from normal relationships, this is the end of your identity. This is the end of your ability to have a marriage that is a real marriage. It's the end of your ability to have a family. It's the end of your ability to connect and to be a part of a society and a culture and have a future and belong. It is a kind of extreme isolation that can be no more extreme. You can't get more extreme than saying, I am not who I actually am. Because that becomes an utterly imperceptible identity. You literally have disconnected yourself from existence. You aren't who you are. You are some fantasy person in your own mind. Look, this is going to continue to escalate because we live in a world where people are told to construct whatever they want themselves to be. This is what the internet does to people. It allows you to create yourself the way you want to create yourself. You can access whatever is out there, and you can create your own world, your own reality, and you can live in that world. The isolation of this particular aspect of it is so sad and so tragic. I read the other day a surgery was done in Australia on a 5-year-old to do a sex change. These kinds of parents ought to be imprisoned who would lead a 5-year-old, and what kind of doctor would ever do that in a hospital in Australia? This is a kind of scarring for life. So I don't mean by being so firm that did you want to be lacking in love when you communicate this? But I think the only way you can address it honestly is to say, God made you. And God made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. You're not only fighting God in his physical creation, you are even more importantly fighting God in his sovereignty. You are fighting God in his spiritual relationship to you. This is a war on God. I'm not going to let God tell me who I am. I'm not going to let God define me. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to define myself. And you're in Romans 1, and that's a reprobate mind. That's a mind that doesn't even function. So while saying that with firmness so you understand it, I think this has to be dealt with love and compassion, because there's some holes in the heart of someone going in that direction. There's a lack of being loved and accepted and feeling wanted and needed and significant. So on the one hand, the reality of that lie and deception is so damaging, so destructive, so isolating, so corrupting that it needs to be confronted. But on the other hand, that confrontation can't exaggerate what already exists, which is a sense of feeling isolated in relationships. So you've got to find the fine line between confronting the error of it to protect the person and at the same time providing the love and affirmation that that person needs to be all that God would have that person be. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara.
We are in a society now where we see that we're learning all new terms, and we have transsexuals, transgenders, and I will attempt to be as up to date as I can. As I understand it right now, as of this week, a transsexual is somebody that had, what? You want to hear me? You hear me now? A transsexual is somebody that has taken the transgender piece all the way to the operating room. And so, I think it's very accurate what he said. You either have Y or X chromosomes. You're a boy or a girl. And it's simple. It's so simple that you wonder. It's mind-boggling how people can twist the truth. But remember this. The new morality is built on a lie and a series of lies. Now, we've looked at Satan, and we talked about that one of his number one things. Last week, we said Satan is a liar. And it's built on lies. And so the new morality concerning sexuality, I'm going to try to be as kind and discreet as I can, it's built on a series of lies. And here's the first one. The first lie is, for either male, female, or whatever, the lie is it doesn't hurt to look. It's okay to look, just don't touch when it comes to your sexual interest or passion. Understand this. The physical eye seeks to fulfill the mind's eye. And that's why porn, video porn, and live porn has grown so much in our country. Porn triggers strong chemical reactions in the brain that imprint the memory. Now, I would be less than naive if I thought no one in this room has ever accessed porn. I will say this, and I'll say it as kindly as possible. If you have the internet and unsupervised access in your children's bedroom to the internet, you are playing the part of a fool if you think your children will not look. They will, because it's their nature to look. Just because your computer's in the living room doesn't mean they won't access it when you're asleep or not there either. There are filters that you can put on, but one thing I've found out, if I want to know how to use my smartphone, hand it to a kid. They can get around some things, and there are programs designed to get around parental filters. So if they want it, they can get it. You say, well, Chip, what do you do? Well, I would say this. I would encourage you that until they are adults, that it's your job to protect your home and protect them. Do not give them unfettered access to the internet. Now, it's not just boys anymore. The growing trend now is among women accessing and paying for porn. Understand, the eye gate opens the minefield of action. James said, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Most sexual criminals admit to strong connections to pornography. And Jesus said, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now let me tell you this. God is not talking about, Jesus is not talking about, you're in a room and a pretty girl comes in and you notice it, fellas, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about going beyond that, and this bleeds into the next slide, that it doesn't hurt to fantasize. It does hurt to fantasize. It's tied to this first slide, that it doesn't hurt to look. The Bible says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. You ever notice somebody, all they got is a dirty mind? You know somebody like that? Everything is turned toward the wrong way with that person. And maybe that's true, but that should never be among God's people. If the Holy Spirit of God is living in you, if you pump that filth into you, He is rejecting it. Now, you can tamp Him down. You can even silence Him. You can push Him down. But I warn you, don't try to stop the Holy Spirit doing His work in you. Because if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, you're going to get in trouble. The seed of sexual impurity is always sown in fantasy. Amnon had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. He took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she refused, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. If you think this book doesn't know anything about sexuality or that it's anti-sex, you have not read this book. This book doesn't just tell us about all our prettiness. It tells us about our ugliness as well. It doesn't just tell us in David's family about how he was a man after God's own heart, which he was. It also tells us about David, how he fell into sexual impurity, which in fact, by the way, carried down to his family, until you have this young man, a son of David, who fell in love with his own sister. Now, you say, well, I thought that was a new thing. No, it's not a new thing. Because you see, the eye gate opens, then the mind gate wanders, then the hand gate goes after. And that is a process that goes and goes and goes. You can put anything you want in there. You can put sex, you can put drugs, you can put alcohol, you can put just about anything into that process where you end up going downhill. Never forget this. All the devil's apples have worms in them. There's always a catch. People think that as long as the lady doesn't come up with having a baby, everything's good. That's not true. When the AIDS virus was peeled back and we saw how destructive this was, we began to take notice. But right away, it became a protected disease because it was found first among the homosexual community and the sexually active community, bisexual, etc. That's where it was. So it became a protected order of disease in many cases. If it was smallpox, they'd isolate it and put it out and bring in controls to stop it spreading. But instead, our society has just invented medicines to try to tamp it down or do away with its effects, but they're not going after the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is the heart of the problem. Men and women's hearts need to be changed by Jesus, and just finding a group of drugs won't fix it. Do you know of the AIDS virus, that normal protective measures do not work, that these viruses morph, and what killed them a year ago may not kill them 10 years from now. It may not kill them tomorrow. It's almost as though they're almost demonic in the way that they can morph and attack. That's why many times you will see somebody that has full-blown AIDS on a regimen of medicine where you see this pile of medicines because they got to come at every angle to try to get it. They got to outsmart the virus. But listen, go back to the Bible. God said, if you don't keep my law, I will send plagues among you, wondrous plagues that you never saw in Egypt that are not even written in the book. And we've got AIDS. So what we've done, we've tamped it down, we've protected it, we don't talk a lot about it, but I'm here to tell you that sexually transmitted diseases still exist in 2017. And they're still dangerous. Many leading people have suffered in their lives with various diseases, and I'll not go into the details or the symptoms other than say to you that syphilis and other types can lead to brain damage and even death. It's still out there. It still exists because you cannot break God's law and expect that there's no payday. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And after this, the judgment. Because man has said, whatever you want to do sexually is cool. As long as you're consenting and you like it, it's okay. God says, no, not so fast. Not so fast. You see, fantasy seeks fulfillment. It always does. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's a downhill process. Say amen. Amen. Line number three is that sex with no strings attached is harmless. Not so. Their idea is okay to touch as long as it doesn't mean anything. You try to legitimize casual sex. A song of the late 60s explained the new morality in its infancy as it began to grow and its warp philosophy on this point. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. God intended sex to be part of the bonding between man and wife. In Genesis it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. Now, being as discreet as I can, I will put it to you this way. During that activity, there is a release in chemicals in the brain that cause an imprinting that says, you are mine, and to that person, you are mine. Even in casual sex. That's why people who are active that way are not only in danger of disease and all kinds of things, their whole idea inside of their head concerning real relationships can get pretty messed up. Are you listening? We've got to understand that God designed us to enjoy that, but in the right context. You don't get to design the context and then say, God, please bless it. A lot of people go and sow their wild oats. And as I've said before, on Friday night, they go sow their wild oats. And then Sunday morning, they're praying for a crop failure. Watch out. We live in an age where right now the other lie is that traditional marriage is simply out of date. It's okay to simply live together as long as you love one another. Well, that sounds good on the surface, except that God instituted marriage, not you. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I'm your friend by telling you that it's not okay to play. It's not okay, and I'm talking about in the context of the message. It's not okay to be playing around with this. The Bible describes it as taking coals into your own bosom. You will get burned. There are always victims of sexual impurity. God provides marriage, and it is the only authorized outlet for our sexuality. The Bible says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one of the other, except it be for consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. That's Bible. Bible, here's what God says in the context of marriage. Have at it and have a great time. But outside of that, God says no. Now, you may say, well, society's stop. Society's so crazy right now, everything's on go. Nothing's on stop. Have you ever seen a video? I've decided when I looked at FaceTube and all these car wreck videos and everything, I do not want to live in Russia. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. It seems like some of the craziest drivers are in Russia, man. They're all over top of each other and everything else. And these intersections, there's places in this world where there's no traffic cop, there's no light, and everybody just approaches like these circles in these places. Nobody's directing traffic, and it's nuts. That's our society when it comes to sex today. But it's not God's plan. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God is not there with a hammer. And when a person that is in a legitimate relationship has an enjoyable time with what he created, he's not there with a hammer and going, "No, thou shalt not enjoy that." God never does that. The problem is men and women have carried it outside of the context that God's given, and they try to do it their own way, and they'll say things like this, "Well, I don't feel guilty about it." You better. You know that your conscience is not the final and be all of what is right and wrong? Because you see, your conscience can be warped. The Bible puts it this way: their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Here's what that literally means. I don't know if you've ever seen it done, but one of the things that you could do in an emergency, the apocalypse hit, and maybe we don't go out until halfway, whatever happens, and you get hurt really bad, and you don't have anything to sew yourself up with, there's something you can do by taking a hot iron and putting it in the fire. Now, maybe you can't do it by yourself, but you could. You ever see on that thing where the dude is stranded on the island and he's got an impacted tooth and it's abscessed and he takes a skate and knocks his own tooth out? I can't do that. My head would just have to explode. But given the opportunity to help myself, I probably would break down and do it. But when it comes to a wound, you can take a wound and kind of close it and then take a hot iron and lay it on it, and it... Not only are you branded, what does it do to the wound, Monica? Seals it, cauterizes it, burns the end, stops the bleeding, and many times kills the bacteria on the surface at least, to help stop infection, but it also damages. I've got a place right here. There's a scar. You see that boo-boo? Yeah, I've got a boo-boo right there. Had a boo-boo. You see the boo-boo? Right there's a scar. On top, around it, I can feel real, it's very sensitive. But on top of it, I can't feel it. Happened years ago. You want to see the boo-boo? I can't feel it. You know why? The nerves are gone. And here's what the Bible says. There are people whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? They can't feel it. They don't think it's wrong. So just because people out there don't think it's wrong doesn't mean it's not wrong. What should be the standard? Your feelings, my feelings, or God's word? God's word in spite of my feelings. And I preach this morning, not to thump somebody or to hurt somebody, but to absolutely try to be your best friend and telling you, please, I beg of you, give this part of your life to God. Your whole sexuality, your whole being, give all of yourself to Him. And my friend, He'll help you. He'll help you to understand the outlet that He created for this is God-given and beautiful when it's instituted in a way that pleases God. This afternoon, Connie Sue and I are scheduled to go to Winchester. My niece is getting married, and she wants me to marry him. And I'm honored. I've married a nephew. Yeah, four of them in the family so far. I'm the family preacher. I like marrying them. I don't want to have to marry them, but I can do both. And I work real cheap. Free. I wonder if that's why they're asking. No, I love them, and I'm honored to do it. Even at a wedding, Jesus showed up at weddings and funerals, didn't he? And I'm looking forward to it. And this couple has decided that they want to honor God and they want to get married. And it's the right thing to do. The point I'm trying to make is, no matter how far along you are in this, there's always a point where you can stop and give yourself to God and say, I want to do the right thing. Did you hear me? I want to do the right thing. And here's what's beautiful. People may have a hard time forgiving you or forgetting, but God said, I will put it in the sea of forgetfulness, and I will never bring it up against you ever again. Ever again. It'll be as far as the east is from the west. And you can have that new life in Christ That's what I spoke about in the previous message when I mentioned about the idea of spiritually becoming a virgin, as it were, before you and God. He knows your history, but he won't hold it against you if you surrender yourself to Christ and all of yourself. I want to give you some warning in closing. Very simple thoughts. This is interesting, pulled straight out of the news. Emergency instructions on how to deliver a baby were sent to every New York City public school principal. At least two staff members in each school are required to be trained in emergency childbirth, not for the staff, but for the kids. Over 50% of wives surveyed stated that they would go outside of marriage in order to find fulfillment. There's a shocking new upper middle class at-home business. You can only guess what it is. And some married women are working as business ladies, should I say, most of which with their husband's approval, and they say they like the extra income. The number of adult bookstores has surpassed the number of McDonald's in the U.S., and I'd say that would be a big deal if they included Dollar General, too. The illicit sex industry brings nearly $10 billion or more a year into the U.S. Recent surveys of teens revealed that 56% of teen girls and 76% of teen boys said that rape was okay under some circumstances, especially if the boy spent a lot of money on the girl or if they'd been dating for at least 6 months. That's where our world is. What does the Bible say? In the little book of Jude, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What can we do? First of all, we need to give a heartfelt plea to God to forgive us and forgive our nation. Then we need to have an honest plea. Talk to God straight up about where you are and where your life is. And then accept God's healing plea. He said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When we sin, we feel dirty. God said, if you'll confess it, let me forgive you, I'll clean you up. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. God does not want reformation from us. He wants repentance. Repentance is admitting you're going in the wrong direction and turning to God and walking away from where you've been. And that's what God wants. And that's what our nation needs, is turning back to God through Jesus Christ. Will it happen overnight? No. Will it happen at all? Probably not. But can it happen to some? Yes. And what's going to make the difference is the Word of God being taught and preached by you as parents, by you as teachers, by you as simple Christians telling the truth, standing up and saying in the face of ridicule, mockery, that, hey, I don't believe that's right. Here's what God says. And don't be mean and don't be ugly about it. I learned this when I tried to witness to my dad. You know, you get a lot further if you say, Dad, you know Jesus loves you and he died for you. But as a young Christian, I didn't know that. I can still picture myself hitting the table and going, Dad, if you don't get right with God, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to go to hell. And Dad said, no, I'm not. We're going in the backyard. One of us is going to leave by hand. God said, it won't be me. That's what my dad said. And I learned from that. I learned from that that there is a good approach and a right approach. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. If you're having an issue in this area, I want you to know, first of all, that your church loves you. Say amen, church. Amen. I want you to know that I love you. Your preacher loves you. But more than anything, I want you to know God loves you. He loves you too much to leave you where you are. And he wants to help you. Would you stand? I'm going to ask Brian to come. And in our society, maybe you're here today, and this is not an issue with you, and you just want God's strength to stay on task, to keep doing what's right. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, during this time, that if you need to come and you need to pray and say, God, you know my heart. I'm trying to stay on track, but Lord, this world is rough and it's tempting, and you just want God's strength to help you to do the right thing, I'm inviting you to come and just pray. Say, God, help me do the right thing. This is your time. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. you're here and you're a Christian, you love Jesus, and you just want to stay on task and do what's right in this area, you want to slip out and say, God, I believe I'm where I ought to be with you, but I want your strength and help to stay on target, to stay where I should be. Or if you're here and you've wrestled and battled with some of these things and you want God's strength and help, just come. Nobody's going to embarrass you. But just come. This is your time. And say to God, God, I want to be on the right path. If that's you, why don't you come? God, I want to be on the right path. I want to do the right thing. If that's you, why don't you come? The Bible says if we're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of us. As these come, if you need to come, come on, this is your time. Don't cheat yourself. If you need to come and pray, say, God, help me to get on target or to stay on target. God, help me. I'm here to tell you the flesh will let you down. But you can do the right thing if you're determined by God's grace and with his help. It starts by a relationship with Jesus. To know that you know that you know that you're saved. And then from there, to walk with him every day and ask for his leadership on your life. If you've been involved in porn and you want God to set you free, and you mean it, tell God right where you're standing, God, you know my heart. I want to be set free. Then, my friend, don't put yourself in the position that's brought you to where you are today. I know a fellow loved Jesus. Got involved in that, and he went as far as to cut his cable out, his internet. Because that was the only way he could get away from it. And for him, that was the answer, and it helped him. You say, well, I can't do that. I need it for work, or I need it for this. Then you ask God to set a filter on it on your heart. And to give you the grace and strength that you need. God bless those of you that have battled with this, and you've seen God bring you victory. We've got folks right here, no doubt, who have dealt with these issues, and God has brought them victory. Keep walking in victory. Father, we bow before you. We pray, God, that you would bless and that you would help these that have prayed, those that prayed right where they're standing. And God, as a pastor, help me and as a man, and God, bring good leadership and godly leadership in my own home and in my own congregation, Lord. And help me to be an example. Set a guard upon my eyes that I would not set any wicked thing before my eyes, as your book says. God, I pray for our men in this room that battle with it every day because of our nature, that we desire to look on the beauty. That you've wired us to do that, God, but help it to be within the context of our own relationships, our own marriage. God, would you give the ladies here that are battling with it in their lives the grace and strength they need? God, we may not be able to affect the entire world from this corner in Gosford, but God, we can affect this corner. We can make a difference in the families represented here. I pray for those going through a struggle right now in their families. I'm asking you that you would walk into their lives and that you would make an incredible difference and change their family tree. And God, let it start with somebody here today. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. We're going to take up our Nashville Rescue Mission offering. And again, I commend you for your giving. Father, we ask your blessing on this offering. I thank you for our people, their faithfulness every month, God, to give, that we take up this offering that you put on the hearts of people to help others. And God, strengthen us, Lord, to do what you tell us to do and to give as you'd have us to give. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank report for the last quarter here. If you'd like a copy of that, please feel free as a member to come get one of those. And as we dismiss, I pray the Lord to give you a great week and that He'd watch over you and keep you safe. Lily, it's good to see you and Leah back among the living. Poor Lily had it, I think, not long ago this past week, and she thought she was dying. I'm glad that you got life back. You're here. Pray for Medford. I guess he got the gift that keeps on giving. So pray for him and pray for one another. All hearts and minds clear? You are dismissed.